Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hi, and welcome to Deconstructing Frisco and Felicia in the Asian Quarter Storyline Part 2. I'll be joined in a little bit by my faithful and very fun co-host, Joanna Schiraldi. But until then, I'll just sort of set the stage by wishing you all the very best of the holiday season, whichever of the holidays you celebrate, and certainly the best of the new year. I think we're all ready for 2017. And since I definitely will not be having another show before the 1st of January, I just wanted to say that for the few of you, the handful of you who listen, I hope that you are on the path for a beautiful 2017. So tonight, Joanna and I are going to get to some scenes that we missed in our big roundup from last week. We're going to talk about specifically the handful of clips from a little bit later in the Asian Quarter when we're headed toward the end. We're sort of maybe 3/4 of the way through when Frisco realizes that his hard line about choosing Sean has alienated Felicia, and she's feeling put upon and explains to him that she feels that they have nothing to say to each other because he's made his choice clear and she's going to stand her ground as well. I was really personally proud of her for making that choice because she sort of stood up and she said, I'm going to be counted. I'm going to be present and accounted for emotionally and like hold my position. And she was absolutely right because of everything that all the trouble Sean had caused for them in the previous storyline. So this is a great line in the sand for her to draw. And that's part of what started to make the storyline even more compelling, is that these were two equally emotionally resolved people, and Frisco had to do some bending. And he's beside himself when he realizes that he is taking the chance of her walking away and really being done. So we're going to look at those scenes, and then we have a few more beautiful moments, namely Thanksgiving 1985, when we're really approaching the denouement. We're not quite there. And the morning after Thanksgiving, and we'll try to get to the engagement too. So hopefully Joanna will join me soon. We've been looking at Christmas stuff too. So maybe we'll even manage to get in Christmas 1985 and maybe a little bit of 1986. I'm being really ambitious because I think that it is, I think that half an hour is going to go by really fast. Hang on a second. I think Joanna needs the call-in number. So I need to give that to her really, really quickly. Sorry for this. This is not how I wanted to start our show, but it's always something. It wouldn't be an FNF podcast if we didn't have a glitch of some kind. So hopefully that'll do it. That'll get her there. It's been a really great year on the timeline. I also want to acknowledge all of the friends that FNFers have found in Clan Lavery and in RNH Factor. These old school super couple pairings fans have to stick together. And it's been really nice to be in the trenches with all of you and to feel all the camaraderie on the timeline as we all mourn for the death of our couples. You know, as this genre seems to be incapable of continuing to hold them up. Well, while I'm waiting for Joanna to call in, let me see how else I can stall. I can't really hide this. Sorry. You're seeing all the machinations behind the curtain. You're seeing all the mess. There's no production values on this show. I am sorry. I can tell you that I have wine again this week. I am still in my pajamas. Did not get out of them once today. I did do a lot of chores around the house, though. So I'm feeling industrious and really good because I am on permanent vacation for the rest of the year. And can't wait to just start to really let my hair down and feel the best of the season. Okay. So Joanna, I know you're probably not listening. I did send you the number. If anybody can help Joanna and tweet it to her, it's 929-476-2985 is the guest call-in. So I'm hoping that she will get this one way or another, or we may have to abort and try this again another time. Hopefully not. Oh, I really don't know what else to tell you. I guess I could start discussing the scenes myself. What has meant the most to me, what continues to mean the most to me about the scenes we're going to talk about tonight, is that they're among some of the first I found on online on YouTube when I was perusing back in 2010 and sort of happened upon Frisco and Felicia clips by accident. So that, and Joanna has that in common with me. She sort of meandered on YouTube 3 years after I did, but they're the first place she landed to. So they have a really special place in her heart. And just the intensity and the passion of those moments have carried us through, and they sort of bore all sorts of hints about what was to come in terms of the intensity and the staying power and the longevity of this couple. And I'm going to try texting the number to Joanna. And I had never seen the like, and I ended up writing a poem for my MFA thesis about these scenes, about this sliver of Frisco and Felicia's world in the Asian Quarter, because I was so provoked to unpack what it was about it that hooked me at that young age, what made me care, sort of how we sort of began to talk about it last week. And I was very focused as a preteen on the way kisses evolved and the way they happened and how they started. And I didn't have the full vocabulary that I have now to discuss, you know, potential energy versus kinetic energy and what happens when there's an alchemic reaction between two people. But we see that just really start to come together in these moments. And I'm sure that, you know, mavens of other super couple fandoms would tell me they feel the exact same way about their pairing, but I had not encountered that in quite that way, watching any two other people kiss. And I think I finally have my co-hostess. So here we go. Hi, Joanna.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, Salima. I'm so sorry that I could not get through, and I have a baby that would go to sleep, and now I'm here.
Okay, well, great. Welcome. I just really yammered on for about 8 minutes, and so I'm sure that everybody who is listening or who will listen will be very relieved. I'll just tell people to start listening at the 8-minute mark. And I guess I'm being sort of generous by saying people are listening, but you have an anecdote about that. I'm not the only one who wonders if people are listening.
I do. Yeah, I told my husband tonight, I say, we were going over to our neighbor's house to watch a football game. The local university here in town was playing a championship or a final playoff game. And I said, we have to be home. I could use some time because I have to, Salim and I are doing a second podcast tonight at 11. He goes, do people listen to your podcast? I was like, yeah, yeah, they do. Just in case you're wondering, they do listen.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a huge audience. We are a niche market, but about five people listen. Yeah. About five people listen, and they really care about it. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much. So I am here. I'm sorry you had to hammer on for 8 minutes solo, but I'm sure you were very fascinating.
I don't think so. Anyway, we have 20 minutes, so let's get to it. Okay, I sort of set the scene. We don't have to like do any synopsis or summarizing. FNF in Sean's office. Like, he comes there because he is very worried that he has alienated her. These kisses, what it means to have found it again after all these years. Go.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that part, I will not elaborate on that other than the fact that I know I've said it a bunch of times that that was the first clip I found on YouTube after not having seen FNF in 30 years. So almost went into labor when I found that clip at 1 a.m. I'll never forget. but that I love that part because I love that he's clearly in danger, you know, with Tony looking out for him and, you know, all those that gang just looking for him. And he's like, I can't go back to what I'm doing thinking she's upset with me and she's mad at me. And so he has to go back. And then those kisses are just the desperation and the passion and the longing for each other. And then just, I mean, they just have to say goodbye again. So it's just like, it's heartbreaking. And I love how he's asking her, you know, just to please trust him. And she's saying that she will. But I mean, those are some of the most unbelievable kisses of theirs that I have watched. And you know, we've watched every single clip of theirs. It's just, I wish they could have gone on and on. Like, that is a clip that I cannot get through just one time. I have to keep rewinding, you know, when they're in the secret room and just the nuances. It's just something else. And I literally almost gave birth to Paulina like 3 weeks early when I found that clip, because I was like, oh my God, I remember this. Like, I remember this. It was such a visceral feeling. I'm like, I remember watching this live, and just to see it again was something just so spectacular, honestly.
Yeah, I wonder what the direction was like for those scenes. Right. I wonder if they needed much direction. I don't know if you're like me, but when I was a kid, I would, you know, after the episode was over, I would rewind kissing scenes and put them in slow motion, mostly because I was very fascinated by like the inner workings, like the actual mechanics of kissing and how it happened. And, you know, why some pairings kisses grab me more than others. Like, I think it's really difficult to kiss convincingly without looking like really awkward and in some cases, like just really unappealing. Right. So there's one thing to kiss well on screen, absent any, you know, particular emotional reaction that it might garner. But I thought, you know, they are really playing. I'm thinking it now that I've had time to really study these kisses. I mean, I could have a PhD in these kisses, because they, what it is about them is that they're the kisses of people, of real people who don't have a camera on them. There's that. You know, they're impassioned, yes, but they're also like nuanced and they're varied, and they have like a dynamism about them. And, you know, there's like, I always say that FNF have like several kissing dialects. You know, there's all of this, like the talking. Anyway, it's really captivating stuff. And you know, I knew sort of, you know, after I stopped watching soaps and had not, you know, paid attention to anything related to soap operas or any people's real lives who star in the genre at all. But it came rushing back to me with those scenes. And it wasn't until I found those scenes on YouTube in 2010 that I truly mourned for what we had lost. Because it's one of those things where it's like, you know, FNF winding down, you're going off to college, or, you know, you become an adult and you have bills to pay and, you know, you have your own romances and life happens all around you. And you kind of know, like, in the back of your mind that for one part of the pairing to continue acting on the show, obviously the characters don't wind up together, but they're still sort of safely ensconced in this place in your memory. And then you think about it and you're like, holy shit, I can't believe that two people who are capable of creating this moment are no longer together, like doing that, because there's no explanation for it. Yeah, it's cosmic, right?
It is cosmic. It's a sinking feeling too. It's kind of like it's very emotional for me to think that, because I'm like, you just think there's no way these people can't be continuing to do this. And one part of that just really stands out to me is when they're in Sean's office in the secret room, and it's towards the end of the scene where he tells her that, I love you, I promise I love you. And like, they're, I don't know, they just, it's obviously just them there and they're just concentrating on each other. But you just feel it so deeply, like, and the way they like embrace each other and the tenderness, I don't know. It's so real. It's just so, it's like a part that I go back to or I have to watch like often when I'm watching that scene, and I just like, it's like emotions that I can't even like explain how it makes me feel. It's like, it's so captivating. And I just kind of come away from it like, man, like these people, it's like, these people are like destined, you know? It's just, that's just how it
is. I imagine Gloria Monty and the director on set, and I think the notes were something like, there's absolutely no separation between you and your character. You know, I think the note to Christina and to Jack had to be something like, any restraint, any sense of a fourth wall, the fourth wall is not quite the right term, but any sense of separation between you and your character, I just want you to be subsumed in this moment. And, you know, kiss each other like no one is watching. Like, whatever they had to do to find the emotional through line, they found it, you know. And I think we talked a lot about trust last week and how the storyline is so effective from the vantage point of these two characters, because you feel the actors coming to trust each other. Those scenes required a lot of trust. So
absolutely.
I think we feel that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. You totally feel that the vulnerability and the trust, it's just really like kind of all comes ahead into there in that moment, because the next time their characters see each other is until this all wraps up. So it's like kind of their like their last, you know, moment together to really let those emotions out. And yeah, I could, that's really interesting. Those would be notes that I would love to,
yeah, well, they do have the park after that, but it's like, because this moment is so desperate, yeah, even though I know sequentially where it falls, it kind of does feel like, you know, like the last. So we should transition to Thanksgiving. Yeah, we should transition to Thanksgiving, just because we're at 12 minutes now. I'll just say this, and then I'll like privilege your comments. I always whenever I'm asked about like top five or top 10 FNF moments, I can actually whittle it down to one. I say that like the morning after Thanksgiving, FNF in bed in their apartment, if there was nothing left, if somehow every vestige of YouTube clipping and rendering and source files were destroyed, but only one thing could stay, I would want it to be that, because to me, yeah, it's the desert clip, because I think you have Jack and Christina's personalities and growing affection for each other as castmates and as friends right there and fully present. Like, their playfulness is driving that. But you also have FNF at a kind of apex in their relationship. I feel like there are four people in that bed and they're all kind of in love with each other. So yeah. But I'll let you talk about it.
I love to hear you talk about it. But that is a fantastic way to describe it, because it's such a combination of everything they've done, their characters have done up to that point, like every storyline, including obviously the pivotal AQ storyline, which is where, you know, this ends up and wraps up. And it's like, you just see like, you see the affection between them, and you see the playfulness, like you said, and again, the trust that came through. And it's a really sweet scene and a tender scene, but it's also a really fun one to watch. And they bring all of that in there. They bring all of those elements into this one scene. And it just perfectly captures like a couple in love. Just, you know, how they would like talk about serious things and then switch to something funny, you know, and joke with each other, and just being grateful for one another. And it's definitely the clip that, like, if someone says to me, I've never watched Frisco and Felicia, like, what can you tell me about them? That's the clip that I would like tell them to go watch first. I think that's just kind of embodies their spirit. And like you said, there's four people in that bed, because you just see the love and the trust that was going on between Christina and Jack, Frisco and Felicia, and it's all there. And just, you know, I always repeat what he said, but like, they're such the emotional connection that they had, and that's where you really, like, you really see it and you can really put your finger on it. And just, like, I don't know. I just love everything about that clip. It's just, gosh, I was watching it again last week, and it's, you know, another one that I rewind certain parts, and like the ease with each other, and like the, like, again, direction from a director. Like, there's things that happen where I'm like, they just wouldn't get that detailed, you know, like, this is these people mm-hmm. just really taking, you know, their affection for one another and just letting it, you know, be what it is, basically. And
yeah, you can kind of tell where the ad-libs are too, because they're mm-hmm. I don't know, you just can kind of hear it, like, in the reaction. You can tell when something's an extemporaneous comment, you know, like the whole am I solid mm-hmm. you know, and she says right. no, that pulse. You can kind of tell that that was, you know, because you it would be it's impossible them. To like script that, like, yeah, that has to happen sort of spontaneously. And I think the first right. one will be called, the second one will be called, the third one will be called, you know, where he's going lower and lower down. And she's like, okay, we got to get up
yeah.
out of this bed. This conversation is getting a little bit out of hand.
Yeah.
I don't know that Felicia would, well, Felicia might say that to Frisco in a playful way if they have something to do, but that just seemed to me like a huge ad lib. So.
Yeah. It was like a huge ad lib where I have to get you back on track to the line, because we have to now talk about the ancient one. Because
right. Exactly. It's
here so fast. You know,
right?
He's like, wait, right. where are you going? Where are you going? And we're like, now we're like on back to the cannery and the fishing fleet. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I won't rest that, until it's theirs. You were literally just about to go like straight down the nightgown.
I know,
buddy.
Like, come on.
I think you can rest other... until it's theirs, because you seemed fine yeah. not thinking about that a second ago.
Yeah, so that's where you see that ad lib just have to take like a really shift, you know, gear shift. And also, I thought was it's such a tiny little moment, but like when he's talking about how many, can't you settle for a dog or something? And she laughs and kisses his chest. And that mm-hmm. to me is just such a really, like, I don't think we've talked about that before, like such an intimate moment, like such a, like, you know, like I can't see that being done on paper, like, okay, now she, right. you know. But
right.
Yeah, it's just, I think a lot of that, like there's probably a lot more ad lib than I even realized, you know, originally, because you kind of just, right. you know, when you're watching it, you just know it by heart. But
yeah, you get the yeah. fun and you get the intimacy and you get like desperation, and they can play, or they were able to at that time play all of these different beats in the space of a single, you know, like long scene, because back then we got long scenes, right. you know. Yeah. yeah, so yeah. so that continues into their engagement. Now, I love sharing this clip. I do it all the time, like whenever it's December 6th, which is the anniversary of their, like, the air date of them getting engaged. Right. I share the clip where of the interview from 1986 when Christina was asked about favorite scenes, and it's the only interview I've ever seen or heard where she references the engagement scene as a favorite. I think, mm-hmm. to my mm-hmm. knowledge, it's the only time she ever talked about it. Right. As one where she was able to, she was allowed to be, to let go and be vulnerable. And the vulnerability from both of them is staggering. So I just want to hear from you, mm-hmm. your thoughts on the engagement. And we're at 6 minutes, just
well,
so you know.
I will thank you, and I think all of us FNFers, thank you for doing the engagement kisses and isolation upload, because that is amazing. So, and that really just gives us like such a glimpse into, you know, that whole scene just there. But the vulnerability was like, it's stunning and staggering. Like you said, it's so beautiful. Like I really, I'm feeling like I'm watching these two people, you know, get engaged. Like they're really in love. This is really, I mean, that's what we love about believability, you know, and but it just was like, just, it's such an emotional scene for me to watch. Like I feel like when she, like he gets down on one knee and says, you know, I'm going to do this the old fashioned way. And I just, I'm just feeling how she's feeling when she's like, you know, what are you going to do? I love her voice, how she says that, and the tears that are in her eyes, and she's not crying yet, but she's just emotional about it, and and all the all the emotional, you know, the emotional beats throughout the whole scene. But then, and those kisses are just, I mean, the intimacy level is just, it's through the roof, basically, you know, it's just.
Yeah, those are not like soap opera kisses, right? They're not soap opera kisses. Those, you just feel like a decision was made to have no, not even a shred of artifice. And this is a small point, and I don't think most FNFers need it made for them, but occasionally people who are unschooled or unsophisticated in their FNF worldview will leave comments on YouTube about how it's too bad Felicia like proposed to him and he didn't propose to her. And I'm like, were you not watching the park scene? Frisco's been proposing to this girl since he met her. He's been asserting that he wants to marry her and will marry her and they will be married. So she was continuing a conversation that they've been in for a year and a half at this point. And it was not but a few weeks prior that he said, if Josh weren't killed, we would have been married. And when I'm able to ask you, are you going to say yes? And she's like, I will. So when she sees that money has come in, she's like, well, here we go. We're obviously getting married. So she forced the decision on that day, but Frisco very much proposed to her for a long time, many times before that. So.
And he was only his reservation had nothing to do with not wanting to get married or engaged or being afraid of marriage. It was that he couldn't support her, that he had no job. He had just come off this big thing and he had nothing, you know, monetary to show for it. And so he wanted to be, you know, able to take care of her or, you know, make a life with her. And so that was his concern. It had nothing to do with, he didn't think they should be married because he had already proposed to her, you know, a number of times, like you just said. It was always on his mind.
And he wasn't going to do it, you know, that day. I'm sure getting home from that trip where things were finally wrapped up, and she's like, meet me at the jewelry store so we can make our engagement official. Like, if you don't have that plan, like, that's like, okay, what? I mean, he was really knocked for a loop. But we got some gorgeous intensity, and we got their vulnerability and their willingness to, you know, I just imagine if I could, you know, this is pure conjecture, but in my mind, even absent any notes from the producer or from the director, they sort of, you know, had a moment before taping of these scenes and they just said to each other, let's just agree that, you know, that we are going to be all in and not try to, let's just follow where this goes, you know? Emotionally, let's be open to every emotional permutation that might occur in the scene.
Just let it, let's just organically feel what someone would feel in this situation. And obviously they felt strongly for each other. So it was, you know, conjecture on my part, but it was easy to kind of fall into that, you know, and let those emotions come through.
Yep, it definitely, it's believable in a way. It was believable beyond believable. Like, it, I think it's some of the finest acting that they've done. And it saddens me that, that they didn't Emmys for either the Asian Quarter storyline, or pardon me, or the FNF on the Run, which would happen a year later. Maybe they did and they just weren't selected. I don't know. But it saddens me because I think that they did any worthy work. We're at 46 seconds, Joanna. So this has been so great. I know that you have a lot going on. Thank you for dialing
God, I'm so sorry that I was late calling in, but this is so fun. And hopefully we can do our next one again soon.
On the next hopefully topic. In the new year, right? Hopefully 2017 is a lot better of a year and we can do some more podcasts. But just know that I value you and I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. I'm sure we'll be talking on Twitter, but officially, Merry Christmas. All right, bye-bye. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.